Good morning. I got a fine looking group of people here. Of course, I got some cataracts now, but we're glad you're here. Very glad and thankful for your presence. I appreciate all those that have participated in the service and greatly appreciate Brother Nick leading us in those songs. I asked him if he would lead the Count Your Many Blessings, because we have more than we can count, don't we? Many, many more than we could count. I have one announcement. A blessing has come to Malcolm and Nell. They have a new great-grandson. Get that? Not grandson now. Great-grandson. His name is Silas, and I believe it's pronounced Mateo, which means Matthew. So he's got a Bible name, and Silas, he's bound to be a preacher. Silas. So we're very happy for that. We're glad to have all the children and the young people that we have here this morning. We're very, very blessed along that line. This morning, we're going to talk about thoughts on Thanksgiving. And this evening, we're going to talk about the same subject. I hope that you can come back. It's just impossible for me anyway, to teach such an important subject in just one short lesson. And it may be that we'll study it next week. It is a very, very important subject, is it not? Our thanksgiving to God. You go back in our history, and there was a time, and I would say in Tennessee, it still is generally taught about the pilgrims and 1621, and they had a Thanksgiving with the, invited the Indians. The Indians had taught them a lot, and they were blessed with a good crop, and they thought it would be good to assemble together and have a meal, share one with another, give their thanks to God for their harvest. And there's a time in our country in which pretty much everyone observed Thanksgiving and gave thanks for God. We find now that we have a great many people that do not follow that. They have abandoned early traditions that were very important to our nation, and in my judgment are still important today, and they have abandoned that, largely because so many don't believe in God, and we have so many that really are not citizens, and that would apply to some of them that may say that they are citizens, and I'm not trying to be overly political, but it is very important for us to be Americans. You cannot have a nation without patriots. You go back in history, anywhere, any time, and show me that you can have a nation without a people that have common tradition and a common language and good laws and people that support them. It's not going to happen if you do not have those elements and others. So this is very important. And it really saddens my heart, probably yours. It saddens our heart to look out and see so many people that are unhappy. How could you not be blessed in the United States of America? I know that we have individuals here that are sick. You're not well. And we're a lot happier when we're not sick. I appreciate so many that come and they're not well. And if you have to leave, we understand that. From time to time, we have someone that has to leave. I remember a few occasions in time past where one in particular I remember got to the back door, and I was there to open the door, and they were so sick, they said, I've got to go back home. But isn't that something that people would think that much of worshiping God? So, it is a national holiday. On more than one occasion during the Revolutionary War, George Washington asked for the people to have a day of Thanksgiving. He became president, and in 1789 declared that there would be a day of Thanksgiving. I believe it was the fourth Thursday. And then Abraham Lincoln in 1863, he declared that in fact they would have a national day of Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of November. There were a couple of years during Franklin Roosevelt's administration that they changed it for just the time period shortly, but then it came back to the time period that we have now. But it is so important for young people to understand the importance of this Thanksgiving to God. Because everything that we have, our blessings, or all the good things that we have, they are from God. James says this in James 1, 16 and 17. He says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." If you go out sometime today, and you stay out for, let's say, 30 minutes, you're going to see that the shadow changes. It changes all day long. It's variable. They said God's not variable. We absolutely depend upon God, the one that made the sun and the moon and the stars, is able to take care of us. We might get sick. We're going to get sick. We read this morning about one of the kings, and it said he was sick, and it was a sickness unto death. Well, that's been going on a long time. But Christians are in the hands of God. We all want to be here, in my judgment, longer if we can. But the Christian has so much to look forward to, so much to look forward to. And we thank God for all our gifts, all of our blessings, and you couldn't thank God too much. In the 107th Psalm, you might want to read that later on, he begins by saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." This is kind of an unusual passage of Scripture, in that it is found so many times in the Bible. I'm certain I don't know all of the times, but some of them were kind of easy to remember. It's in Psalm 106 and verse 1, 107 and verse 1, 118 and verse 1, 118 and the last verse 29, and Psalm 136 and verse 1. It's also found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34, and Ezra chapter 3. So you have an important verse in the Bible. Certainly anything repeated many times like that, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." I noticed in Tom's prayer, and he talked about God being good, the goodness of God. In that same psalm, in Psalm 107 and verse 8, and I think about this psalm and this passage of Scripture, especially when we think about Thanksgiving. He said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for all and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Now that's Psalm 107 and verse 8. And that's rather unique, because it's found in verse 8, it's found in verse 15, it's found in verse 21, and it's found in verse 31. This passage, that one, found four times in Psalm 107. So God wants us to thank him. He is worthy of thanks. They're praising him all the time up in heaven. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We'll praise him today, tomorrow, if God blesses us, and forever. I don't know if you thought about coming to the worship, but if an individual did not worship God or was not pleased to worship God, how would it be that that individual would want to be up in heaven, because you know up in heaven we're going to be worshiping God and serving God. I don't know what all we're going to be doing up there. It's obvious that since we have a spirit and the mind is spiritual, it operates with our brain down here, but the mind is spiritual. It'd be hard not to recognize that. I guess that would be a good discussion, wouldn't it, with an infidel? But the mind is spiritual, so we're going to be able to learn and grow spiritually for eternity. In Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. I just like that, don't you? The Lord is good. And then Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So we are blessed. We have trials and difficulties in life. Yes, even death. But we serve, believe in, and obey, and worship and honor the Almighty God. I've got a little poem that was written some years ago. I don't know how many. And I want to read it because it's a very general poem. It covers a lot of area. Thank thee, Lord, for everything, for eyes to see and hearts to sing. Thank thee for the food we eat and for thy word to guide our feet. I'm certain that we're probably all going to be blessed with some good food, right? And my exhortation to you is to enjoy it, okay? Sometimes individuals say, oh, I've eaten too much. Well, you don't want to overdo it, but you should enjoy your meal and being with your family or friends or loved ones. Enjoy it. Enjoy the friendship and the love that you have. And so many individuals, they don't have that. And they're not thankful for their eyes to see. And you know, our hearts sing. It's not just our lips. Thank thee, Lord, for beautiful spring, flowers and grass and lovely things. Thank you, Lord, for summer and fall, for birds that fly and creatures small. I guess it's probably been about a month ago. We drove up to the lake, showing it to someone. We drove up to South Holston, and we were below the dam. Everybody here has probably been there. And right below the dam, in the great tall trees, were three eagles, bald-headed eagles. I have never seen three eagles at one time, have you? And they were up in those trees, and they were taking turns. I don't know whether they talked to each other about it, but they had taken turns, and they were fishing. And they would scoop down there and try to get a fish. I think some of them were smaller fish, but they were having fun. I thought, what a beautiful sight in our country to watch those eagles, three of them. God made them. God made the fish for them to eat. A lot of people don't think about that when they say that we have evolved. All these things just kind of worked out good that we got food, isn't it? Huh? How did that work out? We got food and oxygen? I mean, and look at the different kinds of food that we have. All that variation. And to think that, and of course you have things that follow genetically, and to think that all of these things, they had to happen simultaneously, if you think about it. It wouldn't be doing any good to be born and not have something to eat. And it wouldn't be too good if you're born and didn't have milk or something to strengthen yourself. So God has provided for all of that. This next one, some of you might not like as much, but I know we have people here that love the snow. So I always thank God. Thank thee, Lord, for winter snow to cleanse the earth and things below. Thank thee for the sun and the rain. Yea, thank thee, Lord, for everything. We enjoy the sun and the rain, don't we? We need the rain. We have a little chihuahua, Patches. And when I take her out and it's raining, she does not like to get a drop on her. I've just got to go over along the edge of the house and set her out a little bit. And she comes back pretty soon. But we are thankful for the rain. Without it, we have no food, no crops, no life. Thank thee, Lord, for grace divine, the gospel word, oh, may it shine in every land and every place to all the lost of every race. Think about that. Every race, all people, all languages, every nation is to hear and receive the gospel. Thank thee, Lord, for thy dear Son who died for me and everyone. He tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. Thank thee, Lord, for mercy great, for saving me from dreadful fate. Thank thee, Lord, for peace and joys for little girls and little boys. What would we do without them? My mother had a rough time in many ways. She had 7 children. My father went to war. He had the post-traumatic stress disorder. I think his children, we didn't understand. I remember one time one of my brothers told my mother that he was just so sorry that she had such a difficult and disappointing life. She goes, "Oh no," she said, "I've had the best life of any person in the world." She said it's because of her children. And being able to bring those children up and to hold them and to love them and to see to it that they were taught and to feed them, that was a fulfilling life. Then finally, oh, praise the Lord for everything, and may the whole creation sing. Matter of fact, if you read the Old Testament, you will find on occasion, it's poetic, the entire creation praising God. I've noticed sometimes in some of the folk songs, they do the same thing, same type of thing. How great thou art, O God above, how great thy mercy, how great thy love. We could never praise God enough for his mercy and love. I want us to look at a passage of Scripture now that deals with being thankful for the Lord. And this passage of Scripture is found in Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. If you do not have a Bible, there are some in the pews, but I would encourage you to, if you don't have a Bible, to get one and to bring it. Some use the phone, and that's fine, but I would encourage you not to be doing other stuff on the phone. I don't think that Lord would be pleased with that. I know he would not. But Luke 8:22, it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples," that is Jesus, "and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." I don't know how many of you have been out on the lake in boats and crafts, maybe one that's not a great boat or a great ship, and it's to fill up with water. If I am on the water and I have a boat, I haven't been in the one that I have for over 5 years, but if I were to be out there, the rain doesn't bother me. And when I see a bolt of lightning, I don't want to tempt the Lord. I'm out of there. I'm out of there as quick as I can get. But I just think about being out there and the ship actually filling up with water, and the Lord, he's sleeping. And when he says about this storm, that it was a storm of wind in Luke 8:23, Matthew calls it, Matthew 8:24, a great tempest. And Mark calls it in Mark 4:37, a great storm of wind. Now, there's a difference, isn't there? You're out there and you have a storm. That's one, but it's a great tempest, a great storm. We have people here this morning that have been through great storms and great tempests. We have people here this morning that are currently going through great storms and great tempests. Sometimes it may be cancer. Sometimes it may be diabetes. Sometimes it may be arthritis. Sometimes it's because the dear loved ones have departed from us. We miss them. I remember one time a relative of the family asked a question to me and said, you know why we feel so sorrowful when somebody in the family dies or someone close to us? And she said, she was an older woman, very wise, a Christian, said, it's because we're so selfish. And I disagreed with her. Said, no, I don't think so. It's because we love them and we miss them. That's not selfishness. So we have to endure these things in this world, but there's not going to be any death up in heaven. Revelation 21:4 ruled that out. No pain, no sorrow, no death. So you had this great storm of wind, great tempest. And in verse 24, they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Now, in Mark's account, he adds, this is why we have to read all of the accounts of it, to just have all of the words and the entire situation, the entire context. In Mark's account, Mark 4:38 says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care, Lord? He cares. Do you know that our trials and afflictions help us? We may not like them, but they help us. That is, if we trust in God, we should get closer to God. We should grow stronger. Now, I'd say every Christian here would admit that that is the case. So they said, Master, Master, we perish. And in Luke chapter 8:24, it says there was a calm. Again, in Mark chapter 4, he says it was a great calm. And it tells us what Jesus said. He said, Peace, be still. I want you to think about what it would be like to be out there on that Sea of Galilee. It's a pretty, pretty great lake, okay? And you're out there in that storm, and it's a great tempest, and the waves are raging, and you're terrified, and the boat is being filled, and their lives, it says, were in jeopardy. And a man says, Peace, be still, and instantly. Didn't take 30 minutes. Instantly, the water was quiet. There's no wind. Instantly. I just can't imagine that. I just really, how would you forget that? Now, I would understand that this is one of the reasons this is written, not because if I'm out there in that storm that it's going to cease like that, but that we all go through storms in life. We all have these difficulties. It is common among all of mankind and among the brethren that we have these difficulties, but the Lord's with us. I preached a sermon on this one time many years ago. I don't know how many. If I guess, it'd be at least 15. And it was on the ship that could not be sunk. And I talked about the Titanic, and they said that because of the way that it was built and the compartments, they didn't think it could ever possibly sink because they could shut all the compartments. But when it hit that iceberg, it went all the way across that boat in a very long way, and they knew, the captain, once he saw what had happened, he knew that ship was going to sink. But this ship didn't sink. You couldn't sink this ship. Because the Lord was with them. And that's the way we need to look at life. In verse 25, And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they being afraid. I sure would be afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and the water, and they obey him. In Mark's account, Mark 4 and 40, he says, why are ye so fearful? Doesn't that seem strange to you? Huh? The Lord is on that boat with him, on that ship, and I would be terrified. You would be fearful. And the Lord says, why are you afraid? They shouldn't have been afraid. That's the way he looked at it, because he was with them. We should not be afraid. So many times when we are afraid, we need to remember that the Lord is with us, especially as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. So the Lord is with us. He has this great power. We'll come back in a moment and say another word. We need to be thankful that the Lord is with us in these storms of life. In Luke 8 and 24, when he said, Master, Master, we perish, and we said, I believe it was in Mark, we have read the other passage of Scripture, carest thou not that we perish? William Tyndale, do you know anything about William Tyndale? He translated the New Testament to begin with into English, and it came out in 1526. I have a copy of it at my house. I would recommend you can buy a copy. 90% of the King James translation is from William Tyndale. My understanding is that they choked him to death and burned him in the fire at the stake. That's how much they hated the man that gave us the Bible in our language. And I thought it was interesting in 1526, in the New Testament that he translated, he said, Master, Master, we are lost. Isn't that something? That's what the word perish means. One of the synonyms for it in the Greek language is lost. I can't help but think about maybe somebody coming to the services, and they need to be thinking about, Master, Master, we're lost. I'm lost. Jesus is the only Master that can save you. He's the only one that has the power. He's the only one that suffered for our sins. He's the only one that was died and was nailed to the cross for our sins. He's the only one that lived a sinless life. We're just not good enough. There's some wonderful people here, and I've met some people in life that are most, as far as I'm concerned, the most wonderful people in the world. I've met some of them, but all of them together couldn't save us from our sins. Then I think of 1 Peter 5 and 7. You know, Peter was on that boat. There's a positive. Peter was on that ship, and he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The word care there, that's the word for all of your anxiety, all of your trouble, all of your worry. I would admit all of us worry at times, but I hope not for very long. We're taught to pray about that. We don't need to be worrying about it. We cast our burden upon the Lord. Psalm 55 and 22, and He will sustain us. We need to be thankful for the power of the Lord that is exerted for our good. God's power is demonstrated every day. That's why the sun comes up in our language. That's why it goes down. That's why we have the rain, the snow, the blessings. That's why we have the green grass and all the creatures. God has the power. And He uses that power and He sustains this universe. And He is the ruler of all. I wish that every judge, every ruler, every congressman, every senator, every governor, every individual in power would realize that God is our Creator. And we have all of these blessings from His hand. And it's so sad when you see these people, and they're not happy. They're not going to be happy. And a lot of these unhappy people, they're not going to be sitting and enjoying Thanksgiving. They're not going to be sitting with family and loved ones and friends and participating in that meal and giving thanks and honoring God. They're not going to do that. I feel so sorry for them. So sorry for them. But we need to be thankful for that power. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do, listen to this, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This is why when we pray to God, we have faith in God, we put it in his hand, we pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, but we need to remember that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. And then the end of that, I don't think I've ever really understood it or described it properly. That's why you have to keep studying the Bible. Verse 21, listen to this. Unto him be glory in the church. The church will always, by God's grace, glorify and worship God. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Of course, the church shows the great love and wisdom of God. Throughout all ages, world without end. That's the part that I didn't really understand fully. I just would read it or quote it. But I want to say it again. Throughout all ages, world without end, amen. I'm going to give you a rough paraphrase, not being a scholar, but it's like this. Throughout eternity and eternity of eternities. Not just eternity, but as if you had more than eternity. I didn't understand that. But that's how much glory God is to have. The Apostle Paul wrote that out in a very special manner. I would be willing to say there was never a saying like that in the history of all the Greek writings. That was from the Apostle Paul and God's Spirit. If you're not a Christian, it's time to become one. He gave that great commission. He told them, all power is given unto me. There it is, all power given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. I like his part. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. I like that the world. I'm not changing that translation like the modern ones. I believe it means he'll be with us. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do that. If you're an erring child of God, come back home as we stand and as we sing.